Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We needed a worship experience. A connection with your spirit. Empowered by your presence. Yes. I need a worship experience. A connection with your spirit. That's what we're doing at this moment right now. Empowered by your presence. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Well, I don't want to belabor the time this morning. I just have a couple of announcements, and then we're going to have a special guest from the community come forward to be able to speak some words to you in regards to what we're trying to do here as a ministry in this community in regards to health and wellness. And so as I go through these announcements, please listen as follow. Also, right now we have our Thanksgiving pie fundraiser. Are these my right? Oh, you put them in my book? Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I have to put this piece of paper to the side. All right. Matter of fact, go ahead and get out of your seats and meet and greet one another. You know that's what preachers do in order to buy time, right? So go ahead and stand up and tell somebody happy Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and get out of your seat and tell somebody happy Sunday. Okay. All right. You know. All right. Tell somebody happy Sunday. You know, you know you got to see who everybody is. Go ahead and say happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Oh, oh, oh. Happy Sunday. I like that. Happy Sunday. Can y'all pick that up? Happy Sunday. Make up a song. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. There's two words. That's it. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Oh, happy Sunday. Say hello to everybody. Happy Sunday. Y'all got it? We're almost there. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. We just made that up. Happy Sunday. All right. So, Brother Jamari, make a clip of that. That's going to be Divine Truth's new song for meet and greet. You got that? You got that? We just came up with that one just out of the blue. All right. I heard it. Happy Sunday. It's called Happy Sunday. Amen. Amen. So now we got our announcements. Amen. As you can see on the screen, we're going to be having a Thanksgiving pie fundraiser, a Thanksgiving pie fundraiser. Divine Truth is partnering with Perkins Restaurant and Bakery for a Thanksgiving pie fundraiser. For every pie that is ordered, Divine Truth will receive $2. Some of the flavors are caramel, apple, cherry, wild berry, lemon meringue, key lime, peanut butter silk, banana cream, pumpkin, coconut cream. Everybody who likes coconut, y'all ain't say. Anyway, the pies can be picked up at Perkins Restaurant. Please see Sister Akile Mara to place your order today. And also in conjunction with Thanksgiving, can I have Sister Lewis to come up really quick? You good? All right, now. She's going to come up and she's going to give a quick announcement. We're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner for the people in the community. Amen, amen. And she is spearheading this particular committee. So all of y'all that can cook, amen. She'll judge now. She can cook, she can throw down, and my wife can throw down, as Takar can throw down. All right, because I told you this before. You know that your food is suspect at a potluck when everybody's like. So she has an announcement. It's going to be on November the 17th. Be blessed.
Good morning, church. Good morning. On November 17th, and I apologize about the short message, we want to do a divine Thanksgiving where we get out into the community and bless those who are in need in the holiday season, those who have no food, no shelter, no family. And I'm just asking for, you know, if you all can come together. We just something small, maybe turkey, green beans or greens, dressing, water, soda, plates, napkins, and silverware. Tiffany, cornbread. Yes. Yes, Tiffany, cornbread. If we could just come together and reach out to the community. We never know how we can, you know, touch someone and bless someone. It's a lonely season. We're not from here. So all of our family is in Palm Beach, and there's times where we can't really get home. And we have our kids, and our kids have grown up now. So Thanksgiving, we watch football. I stay in the kitchen from 2 o'clock in the morning to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So a lot of people are not fortunate like that. So if we can reach out into the community and not only do it this time, but, you know, maybe create something where we can get out and feed the homeless and just touch someone. Thank you.
All right, now, I thought she was ready to preach because I was trying to get out of preaching today. I'm going to work on that. I'm working on that. Lord, have mercy. I'm working on it. Also, we're going to be having our blessing bags. Many of you, how many of y'all have gotten some of those already? Okay, very good. If you have not gotten one, please see Sister Akile Mara so that you can get one. And you can also contribute to that endeavor. It only costs $5 to kind of get some of those supplies. And for those of you that were out of town and out of town in the hotels on the weekend, you got some stuff that you can give because you took it. So that's So I'm just saying, so things like that are things, or toiletries, you know, like I said before, we don't want to lock the windows when we're at an intersection when a homeless person is reaching out, because we have to remember the least of these. Isn't that important? It is important. Amen. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. That's what we're talking about. To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the widows, the jailhouses, and the prisons, indeed. And so we want to continue to do that. So if you need a blessing bag, make sure that you reach out or contribute to that endeavor. Also, our family room is available for our active children. Amen. The message will be played. You see how I put that there? Active children. Amen. Active children and parents that check out when you just... And they're just buzzing around you. We have a place right across the hall so that you could take your children, and our ushers will usher you across the hallway too, as well, to show you exactly how to get everything connected. And so if you need assistance with that, this message actually inside of the church is playing over there. Also, the Snack Shack will be open today. I believe it is going to be in the lobby. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right, everybody sitting on the back row, put them phones up. Put the phones up and put them in your pocket. Don't bring them out, I don't wanna see them. At all. You need to listen. Once you get past 13 years old, you understand everything. Y'all be Snapchatting paragraphs and paragraphs and all this other stuff. Complex issues like relationships, so you can listen in church. All right? Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord God. Also, the dining room table and stove located in the concierge is for sale. Please see Sister Lady Martin if you are interested, or you know someone who is interested. We are making room for our daycare. We are in the process of, over the next several months, to put stainless steel appliances inside of that room, as well as a centerpiece. And y'all drop a lot of crumbs. So, divine truth, when you come to eat, for her rehearsal, practice, Sunday mornings, you need to be out there in the lobby. You know why? Because we don't want little ants with muscles pushing potato chips all up along the wall and outside of the door. We can't have that in the daycare. We can't have that. It has to be spotless and clean, just like your house, or at least the house that well, I ain't gonna bother with that. All right. So the lobby is where we need to eat at. Is everybody clear on that? The lobby, not the concierge. You can get your food from out of there, but the lobby. So that way, if you leave crumbs, everybody knows it. Moving right along. My brother Jonathan, could you please come on up? All right. This brother right here is from Seminole County Health Department. He contacted me with a nice flyer about health and wellness in the community, and he wants to be a progenitor or a catalyst for our health and wellness ministry in this community. And so I'm bringing him up here to say some words to each and every one of you. God bless you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Once again, my name is Jonathan Rosier. I'm with the Department of Health here in Seminole County. I stand before you today with knowing there's a health disparity going on in this community. A lot of what I do at work is I study and I research a lot of what people go through, especially when it comes to their health and wellness. So then I come up with innovative ideas to help address those things. And it's based off of what you tell me. So with this program, it's called the Congregational Wellness Program. And what it does, it allows me to create a health and wellness program for you. I have a bunch of information, but if I'm not addressing exactly what you have going on, then I can't help you. So my ideal and my plan for this Congregational Wellness Program is to provide health and wellness services to the congregation itself. It's a 10-month long program. All it requires is just your participation. I have a booth set up in the back. I have information that you can take. We have two health ambassadors set up already, and they're going to be your go-to person through me. And what they do is they're that trusted person for you, and they're that trusted person for me. We address the community when it comes to their health and wellness needs, and we're making sure that everybody is living a long life. Because in the Bible, I don't know what scripture, forgive me, but it says my people are being destroyed from lack of knowledge. And with that being said, it's touched me to create this program. Thank you, and I look forward to being connected with each one of you.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And this is not going to be just the last time that you're going to see him. We want to partner with this particular organization. I've been trying to work with Sister Venice White for quite some time now. They actually had an event here a couple of years ago, her and her organization. And so we finally synced up. We finally connected together. So for many of you that don't have health insurance, that don't have dental, do they cover things like that as well? Dental insurance and things like that, instead of getting all your teeth pulled out. Amen. Maybe we could save the tooth. And maybe if you don't have a job that has health insurance, go ahead and see if there's different types of resources that can be partnered with for those specific things. We want y'all to be healthy, and we also want y'all to not skip Sundays when y'all hurting like that. Amen. You see, it's kind of, that wasn't shade. That's just me trying to help out with you, all right? So once again, that won't be the last time that you see him, and it won't be the last time that you see other people inside of the community as well. One little bit of good news. Brother Jamari had the, before he went out, the flyer with our daycare. Our daycare hours will be 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's it. And we are hoping to be opening very, very soon. We have a tentative date. I can't reveal the tentative date just yet because I want to use wisdom. And when my wife starts smiling like this, that means don't give those specific date just yet. But let's say it'll be sometime in November. If you go around the sanctuary, you might see a couple of tracks here and there. Those will be cleaned up before service, right? Before the end of the day, right? Right. Well, those little tracks and little pieces of dust here and there is because we're getting our fire alarm put in for the entire building. They're finally doing it. And our permitting process has actually been going on for the last week or so, and hopefully it will be completed. The fire alarm will be fully installed this upcoming week. And then that's it. We'll be ready to go forward with the daycare. Because, you know, sometimes when churches make announcements, if things don't go right, you just don't hear about it no more. That's how the church does. You just don't hear about it anymore. But we want to let you all know that the gifts, the love and support that you have given, even if you have not given any money, the love and support that you have given is greatly, greatly appreciated. And I want you to continue on in that particular endeavor. We already have many of our staff individuals already in place. We'll be having a meet and greet. I won't give you the dates, but we found some good people from the community that will be able to serve and really be able to push this quote-unquote community-based type of ministry forward. I call it community-based ministry, but it's basically a kingdom business, all right? All right, so if you go here and you got kids, this is a place for you to come to. You still got to pay now. Amen. But it's going to be at a discount that's going to be competitive with all the rates that's going on in this particular city. And as a matter of fact, in Central Orlando, it's a beautiful facility. We have classrooms. We'll have the teachers. The staff is already getting ready to be put in place. That is what we are doing with the resources that you all are giving. And hopefully, you will become even better givers, because some of you can become better givers. If you have a job, you need to give more than $1 or $2. Amen. Don't just come in and sit in all of the lights, the air conditioner, hear good worship, good preaching, get your needs met as far as ministry and people counseling, whether it's male or female, and then you leave us with nothing. No response, no participation in any events, none of that stuff. Don't do us like that. All right? Don't do us like that. I am appealing to your conscience, especially during this time of giving. Amen. So go ahead and get a seed in your hand. It's very important. You know what you contribute to. You know what you don't contribute to. Amen. Amen. Now, as you get a seed in your hand, I have a little shade to throw. Just a little shade to throw. There was an event that happened this past Friday at some place in some area of the city. I believe it was City Walk. I let that name out there. Oh, okay. It was a karaoke place. And I saw people having all types of fun. I saw cups on the table. I don't know what was in them. Oh. Well, I guess I know who went there. Amen. The ladies had a wonderful time during our Divine Design women's ministry. And what we want to do, too, when we have those events is that after an event, when you take photos, please send them to Jamar so he could go ahead and put them on the screen. I can't put some of the videos on there because, you know, everybody who was singing wasn't saved, but they had a great, great, great time. I loved all of the, I love them being there. I don't dig karaoke. I don't understand that, but my wife loves it. Sister Winsley and Sister Mara put it together for those particular type events. And ladies, if you are part of those particular events and you get invited, go ahead and come on out. Go ahead and try to get out of your comfort zone. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So if you want to do better, you want to be around better folk, if you want to elevate yourself, then you got to get around people that's going to push you in a different dimension. When you go to events, you can't be on your phone the entire time. You can't be talking and texting folk. No. You have to interact with one another. You know why? Because we don't want to have plutonic relationships inside of the church. We want you to get to know each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. 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 Don't use technology as a shield. All right. Invite people, even if they don't come. Amen. That's what we want to do. And that also goes for our men out there as well. See, what happens, and I'm almost done. You know what happens when after you get married and after you have kids and once you get out of high school and you start working, you don't turn up anymore, especially when you save. When you're not saved, you just do whatever. That's a different category. You're going to turn up until you're 90. All right, I seen some videos out there. There's a lady from New Orleans, but I ain't gonna even get there. So y'all seen that too? Lord have mercy. But anyway, when you get saved, you're allowed to have fun. You don't have to sit there like this.
Amen.
I wonder if anybody going to hell as soon as I dance a little bit. No. You're not going to hell if you dance. I promise you that. Not if you sing songs. No, we don't want you to be religious. We want you to be natural, all right? Y'all saw me cooking yesterday. I had a video up there, and I was cooking, and I forgot who was playing in the background, but it was some song by somebody, just R&B, and I was just joking. I had my sunglasses on, and I was just partying. It was not Take Me to the Water. No, I was joking to 90s R&B, cooking shish kebabs. Shish kebabs is skewers for those of you that don't even know what that is. It's meat on a stick. All right. I was cooking shish kebabs and hamburgers and hot dogs and all the other stuff, and I was having a good time. Why? Because God wants you to have fun. He wants you to get out, and He wants you to know that there is a way for you to have fun even when you get saved. Amen. 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 You can have a virgin daiquiri. Amen. Now, some of y'all be twisting and stuff like that. Put a little extra pineapple in there. I'm trying to have a flashback in Jesus' name. All right. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for these, your gifts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and get the best seed that you can in your hand and bless the Lord. Don't stare at me. Get the seed in your hand. Be blessed, people of God. Well,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever you go, I will go. Whatever you say, I will say. Thank you, singers. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. This ministry, as I was talking to God this week, it's a challenging week in some respects, but one of the things that he told me about our ministry is that we really and truly try to center what we talk, walk, and preach on the truth. The truth is not a moving object. It's not political. It's not meant to soothe every ear. It's meant to deliver you and set you free. And I believe this message on this wonderful blessed Sunday morning will do just that. Amen. So then the remaining time that I do have, let us look at Luke chapter 4, verse 14. I almost had an old Baptist moment right there where I said, turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21 in the KJV Bible. KJV. It is in KJV. Y'all see it on the screen? All right. If you want a Bible, they're in the back of the seats. You know those are free, right? You can take them and not bring them back. You're not stealing. You can't steal a word. It's for free. It's for free. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21 says the following. And it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. They thought very well of what his message was. And he also came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. I love this verse. Verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened, fixed, focused on him. And he began to say to them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Lord have mercy. And the title of this morning's message is Special Delivery. Subtitle, from Jesus to you. Special delivery from Jesus to you. The U.S. Post Office, in conjunction with the Universal Postal Union, established a basis for a special service for a speedier delivery of mail for an extra fee beginning in 1885 and went on so until 1997. For example, the letter would be dispatched immediately and directly from the receiving post office to the recipient rather than being put in mail for distribution on the regular means. You know, sorting it out, putting it into specific boxes and things of that nature. There are a few things that jumped out at me and will tie in today's message. First of all, the name, you get it? Special delivery. Special delivery. This is before UPS, before FedEx, before DHL or different types of couriers. This was the way that they elevated the price in order to get something to you directly, especially if it was urgent or important. So the name special delivery just jumped out at me when I looked at this definition and did a little bit of research and history on that particular organization. That phrase, special delivery, some of y'all who from hip hop community remember special delivery. Okay, that's from the 90s. Never mind, y'all. Half of y'all were born from that time. So for the rest of you, special delivery actually denotes a sense of urgency. You get that? sense of urgency. Secondly, even among several other pieces of mail filled with all types of content, it represents a higher cost. A higher cost. You see, these messages that were special didn't just go in regular mail. You know, I still remember when stamps were 27 cents. I don't know how much they are today because I use email, but how much are stamps now? Do you know? 49? Ooh, 50 cents? Dang. I'm sorry for all my religious folk. I said, dang. Excuse me. I didn't cuss, but I came close. So, Lord, forgive me right now in Jesus' name. 50 cents? My goodness. That's a lot of money. And that's just for regular mail. It's so crazy how messages that are vast in nature have a cost to it. Especially when they're coming from all different places. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. So in this particular context, special delivery has a cost and it has a name that denotes a certain sense of urgency. These messages were set apart and it had a higher cost because of that cost, they were given priority, attention, and were delivered without a filter. You get that? That was the original methodology of a special delivery. So we got the first concept, urgency. The second concept, being filtered out and because it has a cost. And then the third one, and finally, those messages not only were set apart and had a higher cost, but were also marked differently, so that the carrier knew that they were not just regular and that they were about to deliver a special message that was held in high regard. It wasn't the job of the carrier to change the message. You see what I did there? Or decide when the customer was to receive it, but to bring the message to their house, put it on the inside. Talk about a mailbox here, but maybe you all see the deeper meaning of this, and also move on to the next assignment. That's all that the carrier was supposed to do. Just give you the message. Don't matter what's in the message, but you have to receive it because it is for you and only you. Now, you can imagine that sometimes the messenger would encounter all types of obstacles. In my neighborhood where I came from, the main obstacle was dogs. A chow-chow. Anybody know what a chow-chow is? It's like a bear with teeth, the rabbit dog. So in our neighborhood, when they're in Jacksonville, people had chow-chows, big old bears, on four legs in the neighborhood. German shepherds, that was the second one. And the third one was pit bulls. Lord have mercy. Those are the obstacles that were in the way of certain types of message carriers. Sometimes they would have pepper spray. Sometimes they would just jump the fence. Sometimes they would just be like, whatever, I got a little pistol in my pocket. If you come on up here, I'm going to give you this message because it is part of my job to give it to you, no matter if it's a bill or not. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So that's what could hinder the delivery. You can also think of instances when you have gotten urgent messages in the mail and would open its contents. You would either do one of three things. You would either ignore it. Oh, this ain't nothing. Voting. I ain't voting for Rick Scott. Andrew Gaines. I ain't voting for Andrew Gaines. I ain't voting for nobody. Coupons. I don't even use coupons. The little baby that's on there that needs 50 cents. I don't need that either. Y'all all right? Some of y'all need to come to the altar for laughing at that comment, right? Anyway. Sometimes when you open up the contents, you could be glad or even upset. How many of y'all ever been upset when you open up the mail? I thought I just paid this. I didn't know. Where are all these extra charges from? I can't understand this. Rent again? Notices again. It seems like it's I didn't just graduate to pay bills for the rest of my life, but here I am. Here they are. And it makes you feel some kind of way, especially if it has a message that unequivocally declares that you owe a debt. Jesus, under no uncertain terms, did the same thing, y'all, when he delivered his first message in Galilee and subsequently to his hometown of Nazareth, declaring and delivering one of the most startling messages in history. So once again, as we look at the screen, Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 19, and I'm going to try to move through this quickly. Verse 14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee." I'm giving you the backstory. "And there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue," so he did this before, "on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read," or to read a message. So prior to this particular event in history, Jesus was on a trip. It was not a famous rocking ship. None of that. Going through the sky, little ends. No, it wasn't that. He was actually returning from the wilderness after 40 days and nights of training, facing affliction in mind, body, and spirit from the devil himself. That was right before he gave this message. You see, his mind was being attacked because he was just told by God, after being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit by John in the River Jordan, that God was happy with him. He saw trees of green, red roses too. He saw all of that. God was pleased with them and he was happy with them. But as soon as God says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased," the same God sent him out to meet the devil in the wilderness. I believe he did so to make his calling sure. It doesn't do us any good to be called by God and not be tested in our calling. So it was in his mind. The second area was in his body, his physical body. His physical body was going through turmoil because he decided that in order for him to really connect with what God wanted on this earth realm in regards to feeling all of humanity as a man, and defeating him as all God in the spirit, he was fasting, and therefore he became hungry. Nourishment for the body was leaving his vessel rapidly. You can imagine that some of y'all feel some kind of way on one day. Your stomach starts growling around noon, and you're like, "I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I need the Snack Shack. I need Chili's. I need to get to the house. I need to eat." And that's after a couple of hours. This man felt all the nutrients leaving his body through sweat, through a rocky side of the wilderness, fasting, and then the devil met him too. This reminds me of why my mom used to say many years ago, never make a decision when you're hungry, tired, or upset. But Jesus was hungry, tired, and I know that he was a little bit upset because it was like, okay, here's the devil. And he's trying me, and he's trying to talk to me. He's trying to get into my mind. He knows that I was in heaven when he got thrown out of heaven, but yet he's trying me anyway. So his body was afflicted. No replenishment, no reciprocation of nutrients. And not only that, Jesus was also in the elements and physically weary. Can you imagine just being outside for 40 days and 40 nights, no shelter, and it's just you and God, and that's it? We thought we had a tough time a couple of years ago through our intensity retreat, where we were just inside of the tents and we didn't take no baths for like 2 days. I promise you that our camping equipment smelled for at least a year inside of that closet. We had a ball. Had a ball. Verse 17 says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah," or Esaias. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written these words." Now turn to Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 4. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 4, this is what Jesus was reading to the Pharisees, the scribes, and the hypocrites that were around him. Do we have it? "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." You see this? This is Old Testament, right? "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach
good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may also be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, or the waste places, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. The first part of that is what Jesus read. The second part of that is what he saw. But notice where he stopped to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, the preceding scriptures is what Jesus was referring to back in the Old Testament when he was standing there as a man in the city of Nazareth after coming from Galilee, still recovering from 40 days and 40 nights worth of body, mental, and physical affliction. He is now standing here in church, synagogue, and telling people that I am what the scripture is talking about. It was a jarring type of experience. Could you imagine being in front of people that still give alms to Moses, still are Judaizers, keepers of the law, and you say that you are the word of God in flesh? Blasphemy. Who are you to say that this is you? He did this due to his audience. That's why he read the Old Testament scripture. And he knew that the hearers would not really receive his word unless he went to the word as the word. You missed it. He knew that the hearers would not receive his word unless he went to the word, the scripture, as the word made flesh. He was declaring at this time that he was the contents of the message. Isaiah was the carrier, but Jesus was the carrier and deliverer. Lord have mercy. Special delivery. It was a special delivery, a message that declared that I am he of whom the scriptures testify. Luke chapter 14 verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Let's break it down and unpack this in the time that I have remaining. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So this as a line item is that Jesus came to deliver the gospel. The gospel. What can a poor person do with the gospel? What can they do with the gospel? What is the modus operandi behind it? Well, this is not about money. Not at all. At least not entirely. What it actually means is that Jesus came to those who are poor in spirit. Poor in its proper grammatical context in this particular scripture is somebody who is at a deficit. Someone who's feeling empty. Someone who is on their phone during service and not listening. Everything that's on your phone is not more important than the word of God. Please put it up for the final time. The gospel, my friends, my sisters and my brothers, is who Jesus is and what he came to do. See, don't get wrapped up in the word Christianity. Jesus did not invent Christianity. He's the embodiment of it. You don't follow Christianity in regards to rules and regulations. You follow Jesus, which is Christianity in its purest form. Before the slave masters, before Constantine, before any of these individuals that came into the picture, Jesus was there. And he walked it like he talked. The gospel specifically comes from out of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 in the New Living Translation. And it says as follows, says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart
that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10. You got it, Brother Jamar? I'm going to read it because I want everybody to get this thing close. All right, I'm going to move on. So I'm going to repeat again. Okay. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. Does everybody understand that? And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Verse 11. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Verse 12. Read. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. This is important because you hear the words Jew and Gentile. What this basically means is those who are connected to God through Abraham by blood, genetically, and Gentile, that's everybody else. Everybody else, everybody else. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. And then finally, verse 13. I love this part right here. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be for all my KJV folk, saved. That is the gospel in its purest form. That is Christianity in its purest form. Jesus is the gospel, untainted, sinless, and perfect. Where all the other stuff comes from, I don't know. But what I do know is that the pure truth of what God wanted to send on this earth realm is embodied in Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to deliver the gospel. That's the first thing. The second thing that Jesus did is that he came to deliver healing for those hearts that have been hurt by life's trials and tribulations, to bring stability to emotional turmoil in the mind. This goes along with verse 18. Go back to verse 18 and the starting of 19. Or verse 18, it says, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So we have to break it up in chunks right here. So when Jesus said he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, it's to help you with your heart issues. As the gentleman was so eloquently speaking about the health that's needed inside of this particular community in regards to demographics, the poorest among us sometimes are often the sickest among us. I remember when I was growing up, we didn't have health care. When we had a wound on our hand, we would hear grandmama say, go ahead and get some spider webs and put it on that wound. Some of y'all are like, what in the world? First of all, how in the world did you get the spider web? And second of all, how and why and where would you put it on your sore? Well, God, for somehow, some way through our ancestors, taught them that there was vitamin K inside of the spider web. And vitamin K is a healing element. But that was our health care. But I'm not talking about in the literal sense. I'm talking about people who have heart issues, who have health, a clean bill of health on the outside, but on the inside, man, somebody's broken your heart. It may have come through a relationship. It may have came through something that someone said. I was thinking last night after talking with some teenagers just recently about how individuals say certain things during those grades that can hurt you. And that oftentimes when you start off in middle school or in elementary school, then you don't always have the same friends as you get older because you grow apart. Interests change a little bit. People betray you. Back then you didn't want me, but now I'm hot. You all on me. It happens to each and every one of us. And then it carries on even into adulthood. That's why you see posts like, I'm turning back on my haters. Everybody who, I always help everybody. Everybody who did me wrong, I'm just going to keep on moving forward. With those passive aggressive posts, you know who you're talking to. So I pray that you're delivered from the opinions of other people. Yes. What they say doesn't matter. What God says matters. And since I believe what the scripture says, that God is Jesus and Jesus is God, he came to heal those areas that hurt. Things that were afflicted and inflicted upon you as a child, that may have come from a parent, a loved one, or even a hated one that still affects you to this day. God can speak to that pain as well. He also came to preach deliverance to the captives. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, Jesus came to deliver freedom to those who are spiritually bound by the delusions of the world. And to set those souls free, I'm going deep here, who were in Abraham's bosom, or the Old Testament saints. This is one of those classic Bible study questions where did everybody in the Old Testament go to hell? Or where are all the people in the Old Testament at now since Jesus came? But the scripture specifically says in the book of Matthew that when Jesus died on the cross, graves were opened and there were spirits that were seen all about the city, because that's when he led captivity captive and set the captives free. So Jesus came at that time to set everybody who was in the will of God before his arrival free. The one who he was reading from in the book of Isaiah was an Old Testament saint. And Isaiah did not have the power to raise anybody from the dead. But he was still with God in Abraham's bosom, the place where the poor man was, as he was being comforted in Abraham's bosom. That place is called Sheol, another term for hell, or rather paradise. These names are interchangeable, and I know that it may seem kind of confusing on the surface, but sometimes when God sets you free, it is confusing. You mean to tell me you're going to break me out of this prison that I'm in? I got comfortable where I'm at. I'm turned off by normalcy. A clean cut gentleman. A ladylike woman. I'm turned off by that. I want a bad girl, bad girl. Or bad boys, what you gonna do? I want one of those because it's exciting. It ain't so exciting when you get past 30. And sure enough, not when you get past 40. So he came to set the captives free. What are you in prison with right now? Are you in prison with the past, with unforgiveness, with sexual immorality? Are you in prison with gossiping, with anger issues? Are you in prison with health problems? In prison with being mediocre or just being average, doing just enough to get by? Are you content with just being an average Christian that just goes to church on Sunday but never tells anybody what you believe or why? No, he came to set you free. He came to give recovering of sight to the blind. In other words, Jesus came to deliver spiritual vision as well as physical vision. He did this not only to open the physical eyes of blindness, but also those whose eyes were wide shut. You missed it. You can have your eyes opened, but we're living in a time, especially with many of our young people, our sons and our daughters that are coming up, they believe in enlightenment versus illumination. Enlightenment is when you have wisdom from the inside that comes out. Illumination is when something greater shines upon you. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you can get enlightenment by looking at Egyptology and looking at YouTube and looking at Hebrew Israelism or British Israelism or Hinduism and all these different types of mantras or yogi and pantheism. You can get into stuff like that. You can get into the ancients if you so desire, because it was indigenous to where you come from, so you think. But God makes it plain. He wants to open up your eyes and illuminate the gospel. Illuminate the truth in your life so that you won't be in the dark even though you see clearly. I don't understand why. I don't understand sin. I understand why I can't just trust folk. I had to tell somebody the other day, you can't trust anybody. The only ones that you can really trust unequivocally is nobody. Trust God.
And he will place the right people in your life that you can trust up to a certain extent. To a certain extent. Not all trust. As reliable as you may be, as on time that you always say that you're on time for whatever area in your life it could be, sometimes you're late. That means you didn't do what you said that you were going to do. And even at the smallest level, that is hypocrisy. So who can fulfill this standard? It is Jesus himself, who is the perfect standard. The other part of the sentence says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus came to deliver freedom for those who have internal bleeding. That's what a bruise is. A bruise is not when you get bloodied and blood comes out on the surface. It's when you bleed on the inside. Some of you have internal bleeding and you're hurting on the inside. You have pain that runs deeper than the surface, but Jesus came to heal that too. He came to heal the broken relationship between you and your mother. He came to heal the situation between you and your father, whether it be a stranger or whether he's at the house right now. He came to heal those areas of your life, even if it's at a distance. Sometimes it has to be through forgiveness. Sometimes it has to be through love. Sometimes it has to be through silence. I pray that God gives you the wisdom on how to embrace true healing that goes deeper than the surface. How you do it? I'm fine. I'm reminded of that particular movie that Janet Jackson was in, Why Did I Get Married? I believe it was 2. And she was like the picture perfect marriage. Everything was just so nice and it was so lovely and everything's fine. Me and Garrett are just doing just fine. But yet when the doors closed, they were acting like the real thing. The marriage was on the rocks. And it was all because they were bruised from internal bleeding. As the movie begins to dictate so famously, what happened was is that they had a child that died. And because of the death of that particular child in their marriage that they both loved, as affluent as they were, that child, death, they did not face it. They did not reconcile with it. They did not deal with the emotions or grieve properly. And as a result of that psychological fact, they begin to fracture in their relationship and begin to repress what really was going on. See, you just because you repress something doesn't mean that you're dealing with it. When you hold it on the inside, watch this, it will come out. It will come out on those that deserve it and those that do not deserve it. Because the human body is not designed to have a war on the inside for too long. There will be casualties. Sometimes the casualties are good people that are in our lives. That's why sometimes you break up with people that need to be in your life. Or why we depart from churches exactly where we need to be. Because the healing process is uncomfortable. Now we got to reveal on the inside that my husband and I are not on the same spiritual page. And there's a fracture there. I'm here, but I ain't here. I'm coming, but I have checked out before I entered to the door. So Jesus came to deliver folk like that. And then he also said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, people of God, the special delivery, as I close, was that God was sent, come on, dear, to mankind. If you understand this, this special delivery was wrapped in the body of a man called Jesus. The contents of Jesus were pure, sinless, and full of love. It also was marked with nails in his hands, in his feet, and also his crown. That same message was sealed with an unbreakable new covenant. Jesus was sent in hopes that one day you will open up your heart to him. Read about him and learn about his plan for mankind. That plan is
redemption to a people that don't even deserve it. This was accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. The address is located on your heart, or rather in your heart. And once you receive it, you won't write return to sender. It's yours forever because it's a part of his will. That's the special delivery that Jesus has for you. That's from him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we thank you for this special message that you have shared with each and every one of us about the Master, the Savior, Jesus, who came, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. Come on, stand to your feet as we pray. And Father, we thank you for allowing for this message to be able to go forth in power and in demonstration, so that we too can understand exactly what Jesus is and who he is to us in these troubled times that we're living in even today. Lord God, you know that people are looking for all types of solutions in Congress. They're waiting for a deliverer in the governorship or in the White House. But Father, let them know that they will find no such solace, no such peace in another person. But they need to look to you, God, to give them wisdom on how to deal with such people. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. I pray over every single household, whether it be many or whether it be just one, that there be peace in the household, that there be prosperity in the household, that every financial need is met, and every demonic spirit be erased. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Special delivery from Jesus to you. From Jesus to you. Amen. Well, consider yourselves dismissed. My brother Jonathan will be in the hallway if you need information in regards to health and wellness for you and your family. And we will also have the snack shack open as well, so that you can get some hot food and beverages. I believe that we have chicken sandwiches this time. No chicken sandwiches. Okay. Well, next week there will be chicken sandwiches in Jesus' name. We shall sacrifice the holy bird. And if y'all invite a few folk, we might even have a vegan chicken sandwich. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, people of God. Once again, go ahead and go out to the table and see my brother Jonathan for health and wellness, and also go to the snack shack. Tell somebody that you love them, and we will see you next week. Be blessed. A quick announcement. Oh.
Yes, we have one more announcement. I'm so sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Okay. Anyway, okay. So, as you all know, October was Pastor Appreciation Month. But remember me saying that every day should be Pastor Appreciation Day?
Yes.
Does everybody remember that?
Yes.
All right. Well, we have a special presentation.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Martin, my pastor, my teacher, spiritual father, friend, and my brother. As much as it pains me to do this, because we have so many battles between us, so many trials and tribulations between us, and it pains me, but it's such a good pain to bestow this upon you. I know it's a burden on my heart, but I know it's going to be an uplift in yours. Folks, if you don't know, I know you saw the previous weekend, we blessed him with his hometown team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, but in his heart, his team right here happens to be the New York Super Giants. Yes, I had to bless them with that. You know, they're struggling and they need as much support. So I gave this to him so it can help him support his team. Hey.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Boy, I tell you, that's a competitive joker, but he knows that I am too. We be locking antlers and everything. Top Golf. Y'all did get me on that that go-kart stuff, though. I think, Al, I'm still salty with you, Elder, because I was following the rules. I never forgot how you did me that day, young man, and I'm still bruised on the inside. So Al was just cruising down the hill. He just went fast. I was like, how is this tall joker getting past everybody? And his feet is like all the way up like this. And I'm up here struggling with my raggedy cart. God bless y'all. God keep you. Thank you so much, Ryan. Be blessed, everybody.